Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
Hi, I'm Larry. I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. God has given me the great privilege to be a youth pastor and also to serve the media and internet ministry through my local church. I am thankful for the excellent training I received at West Coast Baptist College.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2004. Since that time, I've been serving God as an administrative assistant in a growing local church, and I really love serving God with my life.
Thank you for your prayers and support for the students and vision of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about West Coast or to share in the vision, visit us at wcbc.edu.
A new year is a great gift from God. It's an opportunity to start fresh. And today on Daily in the Word, we set our sights towards a new year and preparing our hearts and lives to finish this year strong. That's next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapman. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, the teaching and preaching ministry of Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president and founder of the West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. This radio program comes to you every Monday through Friday, and it's our joy to present the uncompromised truth of the Word of God. We hope you had a wonderful Christmas, and today we turn our sights towards a new year, preparing our hearts and our lives to live the new year to its fullest. A new year is a gift from God and a great opportunity to start fresh. We hope you're ready to be challenged and encouraged today from God's Word. Pastor Chapel, give us an introduction to where we're headed.
My wife tells me that I get a little finicky just before the new year, and I think what she means by that is I don't want to waste the opportunity of a new year. And so I begin to write goals and get organized. And whether you're like that or not, I do want you to know that the new year is God's gift to you. Just hours from now, we're going to begin, of all things, 2010. I don't know that I ever expected to see this time. And certainly the Lord's coming is drawing nigh. But until then, I want to take every day and use it for the Lord's honor and glory. I hope today's broadcast will help you as you consider the new year and as you prepare to use it wisely for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now notice, if you would, as Paul begins this message in verse 24. He says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Now Paul begins to declare this unknown God to them. And as he describes this unknown God to them, the first thing he says is that the Lord is the creator of the world. The Lord is the creator of the world. He says, this God that you know nothing about, I'll tell you first of all, He is the creator of the world. Notice secondly, he says in verse 24, seeing that He is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. The Lord is not only the creator of the world, but Paul says, secondly, the Lord of the universe cannot be contained. He says, this God that you don't know about is a God that cannot dwell in a house or a temple. He's not a God that can be made out of stone. He is not a God that can be contained in any way. Now, in Athens, there were many temples, many, many temples with various different idols, and people would worship those idols. Paul said, I want to tell you something about this God that you don't know about. He is a God who has created the world you're living in. He is a God that cannot be contained in some little idol or some little temple or some little cage. I remember years ago in the country of Thailand, as we were there on a missionary trip, we had the opportunity to go down some rivers in the city of Bangkok that really at one time served as the highways for that population. And as we got into a little boat that that took us around from place to place, I noticed as we went in front of many of the different houses that right at the very front of the yards would be up on a pole a little object or house with many colors and many different partitions and many different windows, and it was painted all different colors. And the missionary we were with said, those little houses on the outside of the houses are literally little God houses. And you'll see them in front of the larger homes and even many of the businesses here in Thailand. And the belief is that the spirits can live in those little houses. And that way, everyone can have a little place for their gods to live right on their own property. It was a form of a miniature temple that everyone had in front of their house. And as I saw that little temple in front of the homes in Thailand, I thought to myself, I thank God that I serve a God who cannot be contained in a little house like that. I serve a God who's the creator of the world, who cannot be contained in some little temple or little house. Notice, if you would, verse 25. Paul says of this God, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Now, here we see the Lord of the universe needs nothing from us. The Lord of the universe needs nothing from us. Verse 25, it's very clear. He giveth all things to us. And so we do not need to give things to him in order to find salvation. Now, one of the attributes of false religion is that false religion always emphasizes the works of the hands for salvation. False religion always emphasizes the coming to the temple and going through various rites and forms of worship in order to be saved. But here we see that we do not do this to be saved, but that the true God is the giver of all life. For example, the Athenians worshiped the sun, and they literally would pray to the sun as one of their gods. But Paul is showing them here, our God, the God that you know nothing about, is a God who has created the sun with his spoken word. He has given to us all life and all things. And so the Lord is the creator of the world. The Lord of the universe cannot be contained. And the Lord of the universe needs nothing from us nor from our hands. My friend, it is by his grace that we are saved today. And we need to remember that. Notice fourthly, the Lord is the creator of all nations. The Lord is the creator of all nations. Notice what it says in verse 26. And hath made one, of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Now here Paul says, this God that you know nothing about is the creator of all nations. I want you to see in verse 26, hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. Now my friend, today, while some may wonder where the races have come from, and there are different theories about that, let me say this morning that all races can be traced back to Adam. All men, all of us, have this in common, that we are all the descendants of Adam today. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 tells us that very clearly. The Athenians, in Athens, there were those who thought that they were a part of a master race, that they somehow had attained some elite status, similar to what the Nazis believed some many years later. And here we see that Paul says, no, I want to tell you something about this God. This God that you know nothing about, this is a God, according to verse 26, that hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. The fact of the matter is that all men come from this God's creation, and his name was Adam, the first man ever created. You know, Romans chapter 1 tells us about the way that these false philosophies come into the world. Romans 1:22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became as fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And when we see a society like this at Athens, we're reminded of the fact that while they thought they were so wise, literally, they were fools with what they believed. And Paul was showing this to them. The people, notice not only the people created by God, but secondly, the boundaries of the nations were created by God. The Bible says in verse 26, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations. So Paul is saying this God is the originator of the entire human race. This God is the God who lifts up nations and puts down nations. He's the one who establishes the habitation of all of the nations. And then there's one final thing here about this God that Paul wanted them to know. And that was that the Lord God is available to all who will seek him. He's available to all that will seek him. Notice if you would in verse 27. That they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Now think of this in your mind. Paul the apostle comes on the scene to a city he had never been before, the city of Athens. And we see him there in the city of Athens renunciating all of this idolatry, renunciating all of this pagan worship, preaching against their false deities. Not only does he renounce their false deities, but then secondly, he reminds them of the true God. And he uses as an illustration this idol to the unknown God. He says, this God that you don't know about is a God that I know about. And I want to tell you about him today. And he says, first of all, he's the creator of the world. Secondly, he says, this God that you don't know about cannot be contained in a little house somewhere. Thirdly, he says, this God that you know nothing about needs nothing from our hands. He is the giver of all life. Fourthly, he is the creator of all nations, all people, all habitations, all nations come from this God. And then I want you to see what he says finally, letter E, that the Lord is available to all who will seek him. This unknown God, this God that they didn't know how to approach or even if he existed. The Apostle Paul says, he is a God who's available to you right now if you will seek him. And he says in verse 27, that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. My friend, I'm thankful today that although our society has many false religions and false philosophies and men who are worshiping the idols of self today, that if they would just look to Jesus Christ, he would be found. If they would seek the Lord, he's not far away. He is always there knocking at the door of a man or a woman, calling them to be saved. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29 says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And I'm convinced of the fact today that a man or a woman on this planet who truly wants to know the Lord will find the Lord as they seek him today. For the Rocky Mountains speak of him, and the Himalayas speak of him, and the rivers and the canyons and the creation all around us speaks of this Creator of whom we preach this morning. And we thank God that he is available for those who will seek him today. All of creation are called his offspring. And we see this found in verse number 27. For it says in the latter portion, he is not far from us, verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. In other words, all of the human race comes forth from God. Now, some have erroneously interpreted this to believe or to say that all men are born as the children of God. That is a false teaching. The word offspring does not mean the spiritual children. It means in the physical sense that God created all mankind. But my friend, if you want to be a child of God, then you must seek him the way that he has ordained. And God has ordained that the way to come to him is through the Lord Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Lord is available for all of the offspring of the world, for every person on this world that would turn to Jesus Christ. The Bible says they will be saved. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation among of any other whereby you must be saved. It is only by way of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the renunciation of false worship. Paul the Apostle says, the way of idolatry is the wrong way. And may God give us Christians today who would speak up the truth and who would not be ashamed to say, this is a false way. We see, secondly, the reminder to seek the Lord. He says, the right way is by way of the cross. And if you'll seek him, you will find him. Now notice, thirdly, specifically, the revelation of God's plan. The Apostle Paul tells them that if they'll seek the Lord, they can find him, that he's available, he's not far away. But then he tells them specifically where the Lord may be found. Verse 30, verse number 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now, in verse 26, he says, if you'll seek the Lord, you'll find he's not far from you. But now in verse 30, he tells them exactly how they might seek the Lord. He gives them the revelation of God's plan. Now, God has revealed light into a spiritually dark world. And when Paul the Apostle came to Athens, he was coming forth not as the light, but as a revelator of that light. He was bringing forth the truth into that dark place. And the presence of light demands a response. Light creates a responsibility. And Jesus Christ is the light of this world. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29 says again, If from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou shalt seek him with thy heart and soul. And in John chapter 1 and verse 1 we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. All right? So what is the Word of God? It is an illuminator. It is the light of truth. What was the Apostle Paul? He was one bringing forth the light of truth. What was John the Baptist? He was not the light, John 1 says, but he was one who brought forth the light. And you see, my friend, God has given light to a darkened world. And the light is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does it say in verse 30 then? And the times of this ignorance or this darkness God has winked at. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now, here we see that God is giving revelation of his plan whereby a man might be saved. Here to a dark city called Athens, worshiping even an unknown God, Paul says, if you want to know the true and living God, you first of all must repent. Now, my friend, repentance simply means a change of mind. They had to come to a place of turning in their hearts where they turn from these false deities and turn to the true and living God. There is no salvation until a man repents within his heart concerning sin and concerning Christ. And there cannot be restoration to a holy God without repentance. In other words, Paul wasn't preaching a message something like this. Hey, if you want to add Jesus to your collection of gods, he'd be a good one to get. Hey, if you want to keep worshiping all these gods and worship Jesus too, that would be wonderful. Is that not what the polytheists say today? Is that not what Hinduism says today? Is that not what the New Age religions teach today? Is that not what many false religions say? Oh, we can believe in Jesus. We just believe in all these other gods too. Well, my friend, that is not what repentance is all about. Repentance is all about turning totally to Jesus Christ and turning away from the false religions. And so Paul says in verse 30, now God has winked at this time of darkness, but now he's calling everyone to repent. Now he has revealed his word to the world, and he's calling on men and women to turn to Jesus Christ. If their idols were wrong, then they had to have a change of heart about those idols and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, and is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. My friend, if you're here this morning and you think that God delights in the fact that people would spend eternity without him, if you think that God has some joy over the fact that men and women who reject him will spend eternity in hell, then you don't understand God. He's not willing that anybody should perish. But he's created us with the ability to make a choice. And we must choose the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We must come to that place of repentance where we turn to Christ and ask him to come into our life. So man must repent. Notice secondly, man will be judged. The Apostle Paul says to these people at Athens, one day a judgment is coming. Notice what he says in verse number 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now, Greek mythology denied a coming judgment, but Paul is preaching to them that a judgment day is coming. One day, the Lord will return and bring judgment to this world. I was reading some time ago and was interested to learn that on the dome of the Capitol in Washington, D.C., in a small area and in somewhat small print, are written the words, "One far-off divine event toward which the whole of creation moves." One far-off and divine event toward which the whole of creation moves. And I believe that whoever penned those words had in their mind the coming of Jesus Christ. It is that one far-off event towards which the whole of creation moves. One day, this world is going to come face-to-face with God. And Paul said, now we need to turn to God. We need to repent before that day comes. And my friend, if we have repented and we have turned to Jesus Christ, then we have nothing to fear at that day of judgment. In fact, those who are saved will not even stand at the great white throne judgment seat and will not find themselves in a guilty situation on that day. Now, this judgment will be a fair judgment because it will be a judgment from a Savior who has pierced hands. Notice the Bible says something in verse 31. It says that the world in righteousness will be judged by that man whom he hath ordained. Now, that man is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the perfect man. He's the perfect judge. And he is going to bring about a righteous judgment in that day. Romans 2 and verse 16 says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. So we are going to be judged in that day based upon what we have done with the gospel. Paul could say it this way, are you going to receive the true God? Are you going to trust Jesus Christ? Or are you going to keep worshiping all these false gods? Now, if you trust Jesus Christ, then when the judgment day comes, your sins are forgiven and there's nothing to fear. But for a man or a woman who rejects Christ and who worships these false deities, then that judgment day will be a day of reckoning. And for those who have rejected Christ and his pierced hands and his pierced brow, then those who have rejected Christ will hear those tragic words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, for I never knew you." Now, as Paul gives this message, I think in my heart, this was a message of great courage. This was a message that took a tremendous amount of God's power to stand up and renounce the false religion, to stand up and remind them that they needed to seek the Lord and to show them how to seek the Lord through repentance. But let's see how his message was received. Notice, if you would, in verse 32. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." Verse 34. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. Now, my friend, there were two responses. There were those who laughed and rejected. There were those who held to him and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Do you know for sure that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? My friend, you don't need to take a Bible college class to settle that issue. If you believe that you are a sinner separated from God because of sin, and if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to forgive you of that sin, then even right now you could pray and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you, to come into your life and save you from your sin, and give you a home in heaven for all of eternity. You could make that call to Jesus Christ right now by prayer and be saved through faith.
Well, thank you, Pastor. And friend, if you have made that decision, we would love to hear from you, and we'd like to send you a gift Bible and a workbook that will help you understand what it means to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. Please call us toll-free or visit us on the website and let us know that you've trusted Christ as Savior as a result of this ministry. I'll give you that contact information in just a moment. As you begin preparing for a new year, I do hope you'll visit dailyintheword.org. Dailyintheword.org is the website of this radio program, and it's an extension of our commitment to you to preach and teach the uncompromised truth of the Word of God. On the website, you'll find a link to the podcast for Daily in the Word. You can subscribe or download Daily in the Word right to your computer or iPod. Take it with you and listen to it at your convenience. You can also refer a friend to Daily in the Word. If you know of someone that could benefit from this program but does not live in an area where it's broadcast, encourage them to stop by dailyintheword.org. You'll also find links to Dr. Chappell's personal blog, a free subscription to the daily devotional from Pastor Chappell, and a link to our online bookstore, Striving Together Publications, where you'll find books, music, curriculum, and many more resources for your spiritual growth and for your ministry in your local church. All of this and more is found at dailyintheword.org. We would so love to hear from you. As a listener, we would rejoice to know that our program is touching your life on a daily basis. Please stop by and let us know that you're listening. Click the Contact Us button and drop us an email. Or you can call us toll-free. Our number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that toll-free call is 1-800-201-7748. Thank you so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.